Honorable Mantash, will you please get Honorable Hadebi? I'm leaving now. Hello? What? Christmas is coming as well. Right. Members, you can continue grabbing some food or a cup of tea, but what I do want to do, Honorable Hadebi, who's our whip, I would like to hand over to another woman, and that is the Honorable Mantashe.
Chairperson, I'm not one is going to listen to the NSPS and the LOA and ICT modernization project. And I suggest that you be specific and precise and brief to the point. Over to you.
Thank you, Acting Chair, and good afternoon, honorable members. Yes. Anyway, I formally welcome you to this committee room. I know the Chief Executive Officer, Edward Mamadise, Abigail Tulare, COO, Yamanika Mwale, Program Manager and Organization, Edward Matemba, Manager Strategic and Strategy and Risk, and Isaac Malapena, Acting Electrotechnical General Manager. You are welcome. Continue, Mr. Mount.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. Let me start with the scope of the presentation. The presentation will cover two aspects as requested by the committee. We will cover the LOAs and the ICT modernization. Allow me, Acting Chair, to first start the presentation by highlighting critical appointments that the NRCS has made recently. We have appointed the Chief Operating Officer, Mrs. Abigail Tulare, who started with the NRCS on the 1st of November. She is almost a month old. We have also changed our approach in terms of the modernization project, realizing that no significant progress has been made. We have appointed a dedicated project manager for modernization project, Mr. Bongani Kanyile. We have also appointed a chief information officer, CIO, who will be starting with us on the 2nd of January 2019. If you recall, Acting Chair, we have been without a CIO for the past 12 months or so. And this has affected negatively the progress that we could have been made on the modernization project. Lastly, we have appointed a human resource administration manager who also started on the 1st of November 2018. Her name is Ndivuo Posa. We hope that this appointment will assist us, especially with the implementation of the modernization project. And I just want to also highlight the fact that before the Chief Operating Officer joined the NRCS, I was in a state of collude from in terms of a number of business units reporting directly to me. We have 16 business units in the NRCS, and all heads of the business units reported directly to me. So you can imagine how busy I had to be with the operations. Moving on to the market, to the approval, which is the first subject that we want to present on. Although we have a number of business units that issue letters of authority, the presentation will focus solely on the electrotechnical. That is due to the number of applications that we receive under this business unit and the backlog, historic backlog that we have encountered in this domain. The NRCS has implemented a number of measures in ensuring that all applications are processed within 120 days or are processed within identified turnaround time as per risk classification in terms of our risk-based approach. The new intervention that we have implemented is the recognition of the International Electrical Commission System of Conformity Assessment, commonly referred to as IECEE. This is a multilateral certification system that is based on international standards that are prepared and issued by International Electrical Commission. The main purpose of the scheme is to offer a potential for one test and one certification, which will allow the participant to apply for approval in any of the participating countries using a what we call CB scheme. So the NRCS recognizes these CB scheme applications and classify them as low-risk applications because they are based on international standards. In terms of the contribution of this intervention, we have noticed that there are 1,500 applications on average per year that are accompanied by a CB scheme certificates. So we are able to process this application within quicker turnaround times. Other interventions that we have implemented is the appointment of the 6 candidate inspectors with effect from 1 April 2017. These 6 candidate inspectors have been put through accelerated training. They have been trained on 5 compulsory specifications, which amount to about 60% of the volume of applications collectively. The candidates work on a 50-50 basis, which means that they are spending 50% of their time on training and 50% of their time on evaluating applications. The 6 candidates are scheduled to complete their training by the end of March 2019, which will bring the full complement of approval inspectors to 13. We have also implemented the 30 days cancellation policy. In terms of our processes, the applicants are given 30 days to rectify both technical and administrative findings. It is arguable, Acting Chair, that whether the turnaround time is 90 days, because within the 120 days turnaround time, we included the 30 days cancellation period to allow corrective action by the applicants themselves. In implementing the 30 days cancellation policy. 1,520 applications between 1 April 2018 and end of October 2018. Those applications have been rejected because the applicants failed to address the findings within the 30 days. This is almost a figure for the whole year, last financial year. So we are being more efficient in the implementation of the 30 days cancellation process to ensure that we ultimately eradicate the backlog. Other interventions that we have implemented is the risk-based approach. The risk-based approach allows us to classify the applications into lower risk, medium risk, and high risk. Each risk category has a generic checklist that will assist us in processing the application. As I've indicated, the renewal applications and the CB scheme applications are automatically categorized as low-risk applications. Through the implementation of the risk-based approach, we have made an assessment that, on average, the low-risk applications are being processed within 72 days. Against a target of 75 days. Medium risk applications are being processed within an average of 96 days, which is slightly above our targeted 90 days period. The high risk applications are being processed within an average of 101 days, which is below our targeted average. So the risk-based approach is going a long way in terms of assisting us in being efficient as an organization. Even though these are average days, in reality, some of the applicants receive their LOAs within 21 days, 31 days, just to show, to demonstrate the efficiency that we beginning to notice out of the implementation of this process. The impact of the intervention comparatively to the last financial year, we have processed the orange there, the blue will be the last financial year, and then the orange is not orange in there, but on my document is orange. So the orange there is the current financial year. In the current financial year, we have already surpassed what we have approved same period last financial year. We have processed 8,000 plus applications already in the current financial year. To demonstrate the outcomes as a result of the implementation of the risk-based approach, the category of the applications that has been processed within the 8,000 plus applications that I've mentioned, the medium risk applications account for 52% of the applications, which is equivalent to 4,000 plus applications as demonstrated on the other cycle. That is followed by low risk applications that account for about 45%, which translate into 3,763 applications. High risk applications account for 3%, which is about 271 applications. As a result of all these interventions, where we are in terms of the LOEs, we have managed to reduce the number of applications on hand from 5,286 on 1 April 2018. That is the opening balance as at 1st April 2018. Now, at the end of October, we were sitting at 3,095 applications. The 3,095 applications, most of them have been processed. 278 of those applications we have already approved. They are just waiting for capturing for the LOAs to be issued. 766 of these applications are in the process of being assigned and allocated to the inspectors. 1,371 applications have already been processed. Findings have been raised. They are waiting for applicants to address those findings. And 680 applications have been assigned and they are being evaluated. Having implemented all these interventions, we are of the firm belief that to cement all the interventions to fruition, we need a modernization project to be implemented. Modernization project will also assist us with efficiency and ultimately reduce the turnaround times. It will also assist with the full consistent implementation of the database through an automatic system. The modernization will also enable us to profile the findings using the system. The modernization will also offer us an opportunity to implement a risk-based approach fully by 2019-2020 financial year. Now, the ICT modernization. On ICT modernization, let me first begin by giving the background of why we want to implement the modernization program. And what is this modernization program that we are talking about? From the NRCS perspective, modernization project is a suite of interdependent strategies that the NRCS will employ to address system challenges and improve efficiency. Part of the modernization process is that we require a resource company that will assist the NRCS with business process review and business process mapping in preparation for the rolling out of the new system. It is also include the implementation of integrated enterprise resource planning, which is your ERP system in the human resource, financial, warehousing, and project management. Most importantly, it includes the automation of the operational environment, which is your inspections and approvals. It will also allow us to integrate with other government agencies like your customs, CIPC, and SAPS. The operation systems, it is in the stage that it will be an end-to-end process of the operation system that begins with your customer portal, which will allow online registration, online application, online payment, and real-time status notification. It will also include pre-market approvals, where the applications will be managed. The risk policy approval process will be implemented, and integration with the ERP system to verify the accounts from finance side. This will assist us in addressing the audit qualification. It also includes the inspection management, which entails scheduling of inspection, real-time, 360-degree view of the inspections, instead access to information, resource productivity and management, and also assist us with the management of samples. As we go into market, we collect samples, we also confiscate other products for testing and approval purposes. So the system is going to assist us in that area as well. Risk engine, automatic classification of applications in terms of our risk-based approach, I've already spoken about that. In terms of the support systems, these are the support systems that we will be implementing: the payroll modules, leave management for HR, finance. We will implement a system that will talk to accounts, receivables, online levy capturing, budgeting process, and travel management. ICT, resource management, in supply chain to assist us with the demand planning and reporting. Vendor management and tender management. In facilities, the warehouse management, where we will be able to account for all our confiscated and sampled products. I think the exchange show is an opportunity just to take the committee through the approach and the project plan that we have implemented. Having realized that we are running behind schedule in terms of the modernization project, hence the interventions that I started with. We have also changed the approach in terms of moving away from a big bang approach on the modernization. We rather focus on small, manageable projects that will realize outcomes sooner. So we have subdivided the modernization projects into various projects that are manageable and realistic. Project 1 is the appointment of the resource company. In terms of that project, we have already advertised the tender on the 26th of October. It is in the search that the entire process up until the appointment will happen by the 15th of February. This is the company that will assist us with business improvement, business processing and mapping, which will lay a foundation for the implementation of the modernization project. Project 2 will entail all our resource and support systems. These support systems are also subdivided into phases. Phase 1 will be our HR module that talks to our leave management and payroll. Phase 2 will be our finance modules, SCM modules, phase 3, so on. In terms of the project planning for the project 2, we will be set to finalize the appointment of the service provider by the end of March 2019. Lastly, let me share the project 3, which is regulatory operational systems. That's your inspections and your approvals. We envisage that the business process mapping will be completed by the end of April. This will mark the beginning of Project 3, that is the implementation of the actual modernization project for approvals and inspections. And I think it is important to just emphasize that it will be premature to come up with a project plan at this stage until we finalize the first two phases of our project. National Treasury has approved a budget of 53 million for the modernization project. The dependencies on the project, the acting chair, is that it depends on the proper supply chain management process. We have realized that the reason we are behind schedule is because in September we had to cancel a tender at the end of the process when all other committees have been run, there's been processes that were finalized, and the problems were only ticked up at the end of the process. So with the project manager on board, we will be able to manage the flow of the supply chain management process from the beginning. If there are hassles, if there are challenges, we will be able to pick up them from the beginning, rather than wait until the end when we pick up the challenges. The project will also depend on the buy-in by all the staff and the management of the NLCS. I think that's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mwadisi. And we appreciate that you have adhered to our request of supplying time frame as we had requested you on the 13th of June this year. Committee? We'll have Honorable McPherson, Honorable Elbert. Is the Hazen now? Katralia? Honorable Khadiri? Honorable Elbert? We don't want to speak. I'm not able to don't speak. You will speak before Honorable Khadeli. And Honorable Mahi. Masobe will speak and Honorable Khadeli will close. Thank you. In that session.
Thank you very much. You know, it's difficult, Mr. Mamadisa, to assess whether things are good or the same. Because in the back of my mind, you know, this is 2 years late. And, you know, I know and you know that the NRCS is an important and probably one of the most undervalued cogs in our economy, specifically in the retail sector. And so it's with that being said that it was no surprise that the German delegation that was with the German president last week said to us in a very sharp and pointed manner that one of the key concerns after, you know, one or two others is the performance of regulators like the NRCS. It was, you were specifically mentioned by them. And for me that's a concern, because no matter how, you know, good or the same things are, it is still your performance or contribution to the economy is still a very important viewpoint for investors like Germany. So that's why this committee takes your performance so seriously. And so I want to ask a couple of things. Under your program dependencies for the risk-based management system, you note that one of them is the buy-in and total commitment by management and staff. And I find that to be an interesting point, because one would assume that it is a given that that staff and management would be committed to something like this. But it's not when you consider the previous history of the NRCS, where there was a dispute between the former CEO, the man who used to occupy your position, who no longer does, and staff. So I'm interested as to why you raised that. Is there a potential for what we saw previously in the NRCS to resurface again in a dispute between yourself and the staff, and that's why you're bringing it to this committee's attention? And then with respect to the current backlogs of 3,095, and if I recall previous presentations to us, I mean, that number seems somewhat consistent to some of the other previous, I think last year that we had was something around that number as well. And it still seems to me, no matter how many people you employ or how hard you try, you find it difficult to eradicate the backlog. You know, I also just want to understand whether you consider number of applications to be the backlog, or if the backlog is a different number. So if you can just clarify in your presentation the 3,095, is that just applications that you have before you, or there is another number that you actually consider to be the total backlog of applications that you're considering? So then I can't recall who was next.
Thank you, Chair. The local industries hope that controlling bodies like the NRCS and South African Bureau of Standards would regulate, and CIPC would regulate standards and importation of low substandard products into this country. But unfortunately, there's such a reduced impact from NRCS and from SABC in the market, that there's serious doubt about the effectiveness of compulsory specifications in the market. And how is your working relations with the South African Bureau of Standards? Why are we talking about letters of authority? People like the plastic pipe industry, South African Bureau of Standards has not renewed it. They don't even use the South African Bureau of Standards mark on plastic pipes anymore, on conduit, on SS-1030s, SS-1060, different wall thickness piping and things on the plastic industry. This is a big problem. This is from controlling bodies like you. The effectiveness of controlling bodies, the public has lost complete confidence in such organizations. Thank you, Chair.
Chairman,
Chair,
my colleague, Mr. McPherson, asked about the backlog. I'd like to amplify that question and say and ask precisely when this backlog, you think the historical backlog, will come to zero. Not the current addition to it, but the historical backlog, so that you are operating in real time, as it were. When do you estimate that to, and when can you say by this date we will bring that to zero? That's absolutely necessary. We note some improvement, but this area has to be clearly addressed. The other question that I have relate to your IT modernization project. Are you happy with the pace there? Are you happy with the pace of that particular project? And related to that, when are you going to appoint a CIO? This has been sitting for a while. Have you done it? So please let us know. Thanks.
Honorable Chairman, Mr. Manadisi and your team came in here. It's going to call Honorable Albert. First thing, when you do your responses, you at some point inform the committee on the carte blanche report that was placed in front, so that we understand the issues as they stand. Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the other honourable members have noted, your organisation plays a very important role in our economy, in setting standards and ensuring that those standards are complied with among various different products for safety concerns, but also for optimal delivery and working of the products. My concern is that it seems that there is a rush into the country of products from outside that just lands in South Africa and is used in building materials, electronic materials, without it having actually complied with any of the existing standards that are there, or do not have standards as yet because there might be a new type of product. And an example of this is, and this is something that is truly shocking, and I don't know how this happened. It's not entirely your fault, because of the government department who are supposed to look after this, and this is the e-toll electronic systems. They were imported from Austria, came through our ports, no NIA was issued, and they were implemented onto the system, and it's running at the moment. So my question is, how does something like that happen? That even if government somehow has the audacity not to comply with your rules and regulations, so how do you propose to monitor government in the first place, and of course the private sector as well, with regard to these products coming in and not being tested to comply or to create a standard if there's no standard as yet? In the case of the e-toll system, no standard existed when those instruments came in because they've never been used in South Africa. Can you also just answer whether any standard has been created as yet for them, and have those instruments that at the moment on the countries in Gauteng been tested to comply with those standards at all? Thank you very much.
Alright, Chairperson. First of all, I'd like to appreciate the report which is in front of us. And then I think that...
Honourable, don't defy my authority. I said it will be Honourable Masobo and then yourself.
Thank you. Thanks, Comrade Chair. Comrade Chair, let's accept the report. And note that this is work in progress. That the capacity to have someone dedicated to look at the work is there now, the project manager. But also to note that there are delays. There are delays, and these delays are unfortunate. They derail the important work that this modernization will assist as an enabler to that you can do your work. There is still a concern. I'm not sure how, CEO, you might want to try to tap from existing institution in the state so that you don't have further delays, because the enterprise resource planning is not a new thing. And that you want to put technology as an enabler to do some of these things. I thought that probably bringing much closer your CSIR, they have the innovation hub there, and they've done some of these things, as an example. Well, I know that CETA should be at the core in assisting these things, but you know some of the difficulties they have. I don't know whether they've been able to do some of them. And then SARS, before, what are the issues that are coming up? They used to have that better system, because remember, what you do, there is a correlation with the work they do in terms of these goods and services that you need to look at. Just check whether you don't want to bring that sounding board as a sounding board in whatever kind of a capacity. to strengthen you so you can be able to move much faster. Because I could even see you will also have to manage some of the risks that you want a service provider now, this company you referred to at the end, to the with the one that determines your TORs. And I can tell you there are more risks. There are more risks that it will pose. Other than that, sometimes there's a vulnerability when you will go out on procurement. That's why I'm just making, to me, more of giving you suggestions. Even treasury in terms of, I'm happy that there's an interaction. They should not only provide money, because there should be that kind of an interconnectedness of the systems, including the SAPS people and others. There is this relationship. Find a way to have that portal or a sounding board, so that at least you don't go down the line in a few months and then you discover some kind of exposure and then you have to do something else. But let's note it that there is a dedicated team now, and let's try to move, but let's not move in a speed that the balance and checks are not there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll concur with Comrade Masobo, that we welcome this report. But what is also very important, I like the approach which they've taken with this issue of modernization. Avoid the system approach, be gradual, whatever it is, because then the mistakes they tend to be less if you take a gradual approach. But what is very important, Chair, is the issue of the time sector. What Honourable McPherson has raised, what the chairman said, it is not only the chairman, even the parliamentarians, even parliamentarians, they raised this issue of long delays as far as April. No. But I think that with this issue of online, it can come as an improvement. But the issue, how can we shorten this thing so that it can be implemented as quickly as possible? And then one of the respecters which should come when coming to this big project is the process of appointing the contractors or the people who are going to deal with this work. Are there any risks which were involved? Because we don't want to have the tail end and then they're being litigated upon by the people who are bidding for this, so that at the end of the day end up being caught, going to court, and then the process being delayed. Because as Honorable Albert has said, this, the work you're doing is very, very important for our economy. As we're speaking now, you go to all the townships, you go to the suburbs, there are lots of fires which are experienced in diverse houses. And when you go back to that, electrical wiring, there was fault around that. The issue of plugs, there was fault around that. So unless you clean up your house, then you can avoid a lot of problems which are happening. Just like on Saturday, that Kudana and Confrontory is up to issues, something which has a terrorist protection. It has just done. When we really ask the preliminary investigation, the issue of the wires is the issue. So this thing brings you direct to your competency as the regulator. Thank you, Chair. But we appreciate the work of you.
Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Can you because of time, MCRS, can you come back to us on that report that I requested on the report of the Carte Blanche program that was run Sunday in writing to the committee secretary and respond on the issues raised now. We appreciate that you have made these appointments and we hope that it will improve your performance as an institution. Much as we want you to wipe up the backlog, we don't want you to and not consider the imperatives that you must insist on. You can respond.
Thank you, Chair. The colleagues that are with me, they will assist in some of the questions if I miss. Starting with Honorable McPherson, indeed the work that we do is critical to the economy. I think it's something that is common among all of us that indeed we must be taken seriously as a regulator in ensuring firstly that we allow fair trade, we do not allow substandard products to flood our market. Coming to your question that why have I mentioned the buy-in from management and staff, I think it's common that when you start implementing technology, there is always a fear that will these machines replace our jobs. It is in that context that I raised the issue of change management, buy-in from staff in terms of the modernization project. It's not talking to resolving any disputes between staff and myself or management and myself. It's a question of change management when you implement innovative project such as implementation of ICT projects, where there will obviously be efficiencies, certain things that were done by humans would necessarily not need a human, like in the context of LOAs, the capturing. If we have an end-to-end system, there is no need to have someone to sit and capture what the inspectors have done, because the inspectors can input that information directly into the system and you will have the LOA pointed at the end of the process with little human intervention. It is in that context when we talk about buy-in from staff and management. It also changes the way things are used to be done. People, naturally, they don't like change. Whenever there is a change, they become uncomfortable. In terms of the $3,095 applications that we have, that is the figure of the applications at hand by the end of October. They do not necessarily represent a backlog. But I must be cautious to say that some of the applications within the 395 may be outside of the 120 days turnaround time, but the whole figure does not represent a backlog of the applications that we have. It's just the applications that we have in hand. Remember that we receive applications on a daily basis, so there will never be a point where we don't have applications on hand. Even if we eradicate the backlog entirely, we will always have applications on hand. It's a continuous process that we receive applications on a daily basis. I think that talks to also the question raised by Honorable Kachalia that when are we going to eradicate this historic backlog? I think it is important to just understand the context in which this backlog was built up. So we received applications in January. We carried some of them to March. It built gradually. So when we came in 2016, the backlog, if you remember, it was sitting at around 7,000 or so applications. And we are gradually targeting those applications that have been old in the system and dealing with them. We hope that with all these interventions, once we have a full complement of the inspectors by 2019, beginning of April 2019, we will be able to start on a clean shipped. That's what we are targeting for, to start on a clean sheet with only new applications that are on hand. And on the ICT modernization, I think we are not happy with the delays. Unfortunately, delays do happen. What is important is that we have a plan as management to ensure that we implement this system. It is also important to just emphasize that we have made an assessment as management that in order for us to be efficient, we really, really need this system. Because it's not only going to help us with the efficiency in terms of operational performance, it is also going to help us with efficiencies in terms of our levy collection. Part of our work is to collect levies to be sustainable, and we cannot be sustainable without having a proper system in place to help us with efficiency. I think Honorable Kachanya, you might have missed, on the beginning of my presentation I highlighted that on the appointment we have appointed a CIO. The CIO will start with us on the 2nd of January 2019. Effective the carte blanche issue, I will address it in writing on the motor vehicles. The relationship with the subs, Honorable Albert, and how we ensure that other government departments comply with our regulations. We are beginning to have a solid relationship with SABS. Since the administrators have been appointed, we had had a meeting with them. We agreed on a program action where we need to identify the areas of collaboration as entities reporting to the Minister of Trade and Industry. I think the relationship will start improving as the two entities begin to engage. The ETOs we have internal arrangements. There is no standard yet. Our legal metrology department is still working on the verification standards on the ETOs. Honorable Khabebe and Masoba, I think I note your advice, and we'll take them into consideration how we do our work. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Tamam, do you want to say anything?
No, thank you. I have nothing to add to Chair, just 30 seconds, if I can. Just want to ask anything that I can get to, and I'm right.
Mr. Mamadisa, if you can just, of the 3095, if you
can. What did you say?
I just want to just, if I can respond in writing, out of the 3095.
It must be me who gives that instruction today.
Okay. Well, I asked you. Of the 3095, if you can tell me what has passed 120 days and sort of what those categories are. And then just to say, finally, change management is important. And the reason why you are sitting in that job is because the man before you left because people didn't want to accept change management. And if you need the support of this committee to get this through, please tell us so we can support you, because we don't want the same thing to happen again.
Thank you, Mr. Mamadisa. You give that through the chairperson, that report, you write to the secretary of the committee, not to an individual. Thank you so much. At this point, we will release you, hoping that you will get that correspondence that explains the things that are outstanding on your response. And can the committee remain behind? Just to talk on and highlight some changes in the program. Thank you. Can the department join us in our lunch,
if possible? Thank you very much. We are done.